the Specials podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everybody, welcome along. I've heard that theme tune a lot this week. Reality Rob and I have been doing a daily I'm a Celebrity update. We'll have the latest one of those after we've talked strictly with Andy Holding. Hi Andy.
Hi Luke.
You well?
I'm good, mate, yeah.
And X Factor, Andy's going to have a little chat about that, and also get Daniel Gould on from sofabet.com, plus a little excerpt from my chat with former X Factor winner Steve Brookstein.
I only want to hear the chat. I don't really want to hear what you and Andy and Daniel, with all due respect, have got to say. Listen to the excerpt.
Fine, well, you can have a listen to. I'm going to put the full interview out as well. It does need a little bit of editing. It's charming, that, though, isn't it, Andy?
Just buy his book.
Yeah, true, could do that. It's called Getting Over the X. It's available today.
Can I, how much is it?
I don't know, actually.
Surely we're all going to receive a signed copy.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And if we don't, can I claim it off expenses from down here?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Your boss?
I'm not. Should we start with Strictly, first of all? Frankie Bridge, 5-2. Pixie Lott, 5-2. Jake Wood, 11-4. Caroline Flack is priced up at 7-1. So is Mark Wright. 14-1, Simon Webb. 66-1 for Steve Vaxall. And Sunetra Sarka. Let's just start a little summary of the outrights there. Rob, what have you seen since last week?
There's some really good dancers and there's some really not very good dancers.
Is that it? Is that the extent of your knowledge?
I'll start taking this seriously, shouldn't I?
Yes.
Yes, joint winners last week for highest score was Pixie and Simon. Simon tipped up on the podcast,
I believe, at some point
by Andy. I think it's getting to the bit where Pixie's starting to show her class now, is starting to come through. I could probably even have made a shorter as well.
It's really?
Got a good dance. And,
are you seeing a lot of interest in Strictly this year?
Yeah, we have actually. I think basically the first sort of 2-3 shows when Jake was dominating, it was very sort of Jake orientated. It's come back round now. The two girls have probably been backed a lot more than Jake, but it seems that there's definitely more turnover than there's been in previous years. Normally it's shadowed X Factor so much, and it has again this year, but it's starting to sort of pull its weight a little bit more, and we're taking as much on Strictly as we've done on I'm a Celebrity. Strictly started about 3 months earlier.
The eighth elimination is priced up, so is the highest score. We've also got a perfect 40 on the November the 22nd show, Saturday, and the first celebrity to score a perfect 40. This is obviously off the back of the tens being thrown around last week on the dances. Should we talk about the elimination first, Andy? We've got Sinetra Sarko at 10-11, Steve Baxall at 5-4, Caroline Flack 16-1, so is Mark Wright, so is Simon Webb, then 33s for Jake, 80-1 for Pixie Lott, and 100-1 for Frankie Bridge. All of a sudden, it feels like we're getting to the business end now Judy's gone.
Yeah, they're starting to chuck the worst dancers off in time on a tradition, as Rob quite rightly pointed out last week. Black Ball was the final nemesis of Judy. She danced the worst, although she danced really well for her. Obviously, we got the better with the over 19.5, but it just wasn't good enough to save her.
And we've said before, and it's worth bearing in mind, you know, that as soon as they do a good dance, it's like, yeah, fun's over.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
it happens time and time again.
Worst thing that's going to happen to Stevie Richie is he actually sings a good song.
Yes.
And gets some good comments.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he does, yeah, you can start pressing the button and backing him to go.
Mm.
To be fair, she was quite low on all the polls as well. She was low on Digital Spy, who was the best dancer there, and obviously on the YouTube playbacks as well. So they got it right. And you're looking this week, is the worst dancer going to go? And you think, well, who's going to be the worst? It probably is between Sinetra and Steve, because the others have now of such a high standard. I think this is probably one of the best Strictly Come Dances dancing series I think I've ever seen, because there's so many good dancers in there who are scoring regularly highly. And I think we've now got to start factoring in Simon, haven't we, as well?
He's coming back to the field a bit, isn't he? He's like, you know, he looked like he was destined to go, didn't he? And he's
talk about Phoenix from the Flames. Yeah. This guy's really summed it up. From literally oblivion, he's come from nowhere. And last week's Argentine Tango, for me anyway, was the dance of the series. Harry only got 38, was a travesty. I say how only. He got three tens, but Craig was responsible for probably the worst mark I think I've ever seen given a dancer on Strictly in all the years I've been watching it. He gave him an eight. An absolute total travesty for those of us that had a bit of a nibble at a big price that he would be top dancer. That was a bit of a sickening blow. But getting back to the elimination, what you've got to ask yourself is here is who's going to get the lowest dance? It's probably going to be Steve. He's doing the jive, which of course is high energy dance. You know, you need good kicks and flicks, but you also need to be in tune with your partner here. He's got to make sure that there's perfect symmetry in the jive. He's got to pull it off to such a high standard to give himself a chance. He was very poor last week in the American Smooth. He only got 1.62% on Digital Spy, only 7,000 playbacks on YouTube, making him the lowest. So I don't think he's getting that popular either. And
no.
If he comes up to a straight head-to-head with Sinitra, and this is my way of thinking here, let's say Sinitra's going to be unpopular as well. Sinitra's got a very good dance for her to actually use up and beat Steve in a dance-off, because she's doing the waltz. We know that Sinitra's very good in ballroom. You know, she did a modest samba last week. She got very low scores on Digital Spy and YouTube. But when she's in hold, as we've seen time and time again, she's done to a very high standard. She's probably going to score 32, 33. She's going to outscore Steve. So unless Steve pulls his socks up in the dance-off, we're predicting these two are in the dance-off, then I think Sinitra's going to out-dance Steve. And for that fact, I would go for Steve to go this week, despite him probably being slightly more popular than Sinitra in the polls.
Any thoughts on that, Rob, on the elimination?
This was actually the first week. The markets have been very good for them bookmakers this week, this year. This was the first week where I thought it had gone wrong. I thought they opened up on Monday as sort of 4-7-2 on Sinitra, and you could back Steve at sort of 5-2, 11-4, and the market's corrected itself now. I genuinely don't think there's a lot between them. I think Sinitra's the better dancer, but I think Steve's a little bit more popular, and that's what makes it. But you.
See, I go the other way around on that. I go the other way. I think Sinitra's polling reasonably well.
Oh, is she?
I think she is. She's just such a recognisable face when you watch her. I think there's a nice feel about her. I just feel like I don't know her, obviously. Yeah. I feel as a viewer that she's been around for a long time.
It's strange for someone like Sinitra, because she's genuinely not done a lot wrong in the series. In a weaker year, you could have seen her get into maybe the top sort of three or four, but as Andy alluded earlier, the standard's so high this year. Here we are, maybe sort of four weeks from the end, and we're sort of fighting out for an elimination. But I think the market has corrected itself. I don't think there's a lot to choose between them, and based on that, I'd probably follow Andy and just go with Steve being more of a value selection of the two.
Yeah,
it's a two-way thing, isn't it? Really, this week, if you have that bet, because if Steve finds himself in a dance-off, if he's up against Sinitra, then I think Sinitra will outdance him. If he's up against anyone else, he goes anyway.
Yeah.
So if Sinitra can... The only way Sinitra can go is if Sinitra's up against somebody else and Steve flukes it and gets through.
Yeah.
So he's
got
to do something sensational in the jive. Can he dance better than Mark Wright's on when Caroline, Jake, Pixie, Frankie? I doubt it. He's got to do something out of the ballpark for him to get through this week.
I know Simon's danced well.
Yeah.
Are we thinking now that his popularity is up there as well?
I'm still not overly convinced of a popularity. I mean, yeah, last week's dance was fine. The tricky one for Simon will be if he gets back to the norm, which he's likely to do this week, where you can see him maybe scoring your sort of 33s, 34s. Mm. Does that make him vulnerable for bottom two? Yeah, maybe it does. Maybe they think that because he got a high score last week, they don't need to vote him. And
But chances are either Sinitra or Steve will be in the bottom two with him, and he'll still outdance them.
He's going to win any dance off. To be quite honest, I think he might actually win a dance off against Caroline and Mark based on what we've seen. So if Simon is at his best, then he could beat both of those two as well. But
The high scoring markets, Pixie Lock 2-1, she's doing the Charleston. We've got Jake next in the button at 3-1 doing the Samba. Caroline 7-2 doing the American Smooth. Frankie at 4-1, Viennese Waltz. Simon's got the Salsa at 8-1. And Mark is dancing the Tango at 9-1. Obviously, we're not mentioning Steve or Sinetra, both 40-1 rank outsiders, Andy. Again, it says when you look at this market, you think, "Oh, great, there's some decent prices there." And then you think, "How do I decipher which one of those is the best? Who's got the best dance for them this week?" Do you think?
Yeah, this is the key, isn't it? It's always about the dance and where they are in the show. And last week, Simon and Pixie stole the show, and they've got a good chance of doing it again this week. You know, Simon was just awesome last week. He just really come of age. The atmosphere of Blackpool, the Argentine Tango. The Argentine Tango is always one to look at. If somebody's dancing that, they've always got a good chance of scoring high. He's a brilliant dance. He doesn't get used enough. I don't know why the Argentine Tango isn't further into the show in the earlier weeks, but we always have to wait to the dying embers to see it. It suited Simon. He got it off perfectly. Now his confidence is going to be absolutely buzzing. I think he's been a bit deflated in the weeks building up to that. But he got 38. He was top on YouTube playbacks over 50,000, which is good. He was nearly 30% as well on the Digital Spy. So he's beginning to turn the people around. And of what I've seen this week in training, him doing the salsa, he really is now beginning to look the part. You know, he's got the right flavour for the salsa, which is what Jake did when he did it early on. You've got to get it absolutely right. He's got fast moves, the armography. There's a great section in there with Christina, who's really put a lot of technicality in there because she can trust Simon. She knows that he's good enough to do it. If he hits the ball out of park with this, if he gets it right, we know the salsa's a great fun dance as well. I think 30... is it 8-1, is he?
Eight to one.
I mean, he was 20-1 last week, and we ended up getting sort of 10-1 with the dead heat rules. But I think 8-1 this week is absolutely colossal for such a flashy dance. And I think we'll probably just have a saver on Pixie as well because she's also doing a very good dance for her. We know she's going to score high. I think 2-1, 9-4, something like that for her is about right. She's doing the Charleston, which of course is a light, fast, fun dance, very intricate as well. But it looks an amazing routine on what I've seen. Trent's put together some really good technical choreography there for Pixie to achieve. And because she's such a juggernaut and so brilliant at it, I don't expect her to fail. She was brilliant in the Paso last week. Basically, she can just do anything standing on her head. So I think that's the way to play this week. I don't think Jake will score as high as everyone thinks. He's doing the Samba, of course, is very similar to the Salsa, which he did earlier. But can he do it as well as he did the Salsa? The pressure's almost on. We know he's going to do well. But I don't think he's going to do well enough to score high. Frankie's got the Viennese Waltz, which is, of course, a very elegant dance. You have to be very precise, and obviously you're constantly spinning. But I found this series, I don't know about you guys, but the sort of ballroom dances, the elegant dances, haven't really showcased the dancers off to their maximum.
No, it's been the more energetic dances, hasn't it?
Yeah, all the Latin dances, the show-stopping dances are the ones where they've scored really highly, and which is almost against the grain. So I think Caroline and Frankie are doing the Viennese Waltz and American Smooth, respectively, might not score as high as what they should do. So therefore, I think Simon Webb is definitely worth a good bet at 8-1. But just have a little bit of saver to get your money back on Pixie as well.
Yeah. Any further thoughts?
No, I do like Pixie this week.
I'll hold him in the studio, by the way, Andy, so we can't cut that 8-1.
No, the 8-1's fine. Keep laying the 8-1. But I do like Pixie. I do like Pixie this week. It wouldn't surprise me if she gets close to that 40.
Yeah,
that we were talking about earlier.
Jake has is the top scoring celebrity with the dance that Simon's doing. Of course, this series he got 35 and wowed everyone. So I think I was just looking at that. Pixie's top scored in four of the dances that she's done: the Foxtrot, the Paso Doble, the Samba, and the Waltz as well. So it's a fair saver, that one. We've got a couple of the markets. First celebrity to score a perfect 40 after the 38s from last week. Frankie Bridge 2-1, Pixie Lock 2-1, Caroline Flack 4s, Jake Wood 6s, Mark Wright 10s, Simon Webb 10-1, 100-1 for the two outsiders, the two Steve and Sinetra. And will there be a perfect 40 this weekend? It's 3-1, yes. I imagine from what you're saying, Andy, the way Simon's dancing, that at 10-1 he might be an outside shout for this the first one to get a 40.
Yeah, it's difficult to see perfection, isn't it? Because it's Craig, isn't it? He paces himself through the series, doesn't he?
Mm.
We know the other three give away if you like, Donny Osmond tens, don't they?
Yeah.
Tens at, almost tens at will.
Yeah.
So you're always susceptible, aren't you, to whatever mood Craig's in. If he spots something that's slightly out, arm placements out, hip action not right, your top line not right, he's definitely going to give you a nine. So you're basically, perfect 40's got to basically get win Craig over. If you can do that and you get it absolutely spot on all the way through, then there's a chance. The logic is that Pixie's going to do it sooner or later. She's the number one scorer week in, week out. This week, the Charleston, very difficult to get a maximum 40 in the Charleston. If anyone can do it, it could be her, but it's so difficult to predict what week Craig's going to turn and give his 10 out.
Yeah, true.
Is it a little bit too early for the 40s? I haven't done the stats on when the previous 40s were, but it seems...
No, I think we're getting close to it. But... I think we're getting close to Craig breaking down, as it were, dusting off that 10 paddle.
Yeah, interesting bets, and worth having
good.
A look at those.
Yeah, very good.
Is that done on Strictly?
Yeah, that's
you happy
me
with that? You happy with that, Rob? Let's get Daniel on.
Just before we go on, yeah, I'll just very interject. I'll just put this out there. For those of us that have backed Jake Wood at a big price to be top man, I think we need to just start having a little bit of a close look at Simon Webb, top man as well, at 5-1 with William Hill, just as a saver. Because I can't see Mark Wright pushing his way past Jake Wood. So I think he's out of it. I don't think he's scoring high enough to be a factor at 5-2. But I'm very worried all of a sudden that Simon is becoming such a proficient dancer that if Jake slips up, highly unlikely, of course, but if he does, then Simon Webb's the one to do it. So it's just a protection bet. For those of us that have got Jake Wood at a price, just have a look at that Simon Webb.
I think Jake's still got some good dances to come,
hasn't he?
Do you feel that Simon's sort of used quite a lot of his good dances in this sort of section, and maybe he's got a few more of his difficult dances to come?
It's just worth saying, like I say, 6-7-1 Jake Wood with what others of us are on, Simon Webb at fives, just in case, just as a cover bet.
You better be right, Andy. You're paying for Christmas if you are.
Yeah, no pressure. Let's turn to X Factor, shall we, and welcome Daniel Gould from SofaBet. Hi Daniel, you well?
I'm well, thanks, Lee. Great to be back.
Yeah, Andy, you want to stick around for a couple of minutes, don't you? Just have a little.
Yeah, just for a little while. I'm obviously up against the big juggernaut experts here, so I'm going to keep my comments to a minimum.
That's fine. And when we at the end of this little segment, we'll hear from Steve Brookstein as well. That interview that we did earlier in the week. We'll put the full interview out, but I'll just do a little insert on what he thinks to this year's series. Let's have a look at the outrights first of all. Seems the obvious place to start. 5-4 for Andrea Faustini, Ben Haynau 11-4, 3-1 Fleur East, Lauren Platt is 6-1, 25-1 Only the Young, 33-1 Stereo Kicks, and 40-1 Stevie Ritchie. On SofaBet this week, Daniel, you've been talking about Andrea and whether his Italianness matters. It's something we discussed on the podcast, wasn't it? I think it was last week when we were saying that the painting him as an Italian in kind of in the British sense of it, if you like. You wouldn't be surprised if he has a Walls Vianetta or whatever, the kind of the stereotypical view of an Italian. Andrew wrote the article. What's your thoughts on him at 5-4 as a favourite at the minute, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, I can't be proposing backing him at 5-4 just because there's so much that it goes by the whim of producers, and they've shown a few times this series that they're willing to do anything to him, i.e. paint him gold. So you have to be careful at those prices if you're on someone with whom producers are possibly going to set up for a fall. You need to be looking at bigger prices on someone there. You know they're going to favour, or they're more likely to favour. So I'm just, they're blowing hot and cold on Andrea at the moment. Week 5 was very positive for him, I thought week 6 was a D-ramp again on first with kind of red and black lighting. Simon returning to the idea of him putting funny faces and all that kind of stuff. So I've just got to wait and see where they go with Andrea. But, if they decide to just kind of shoot him down week after week, that 5-4 is going to look very short.
Before we get Rob's thoughts and kind of report on the betting this week, Andy, you've been a big supporter of Ben Hay now from right at the start. I don't know if it was bigger than this, but 6-1 seems to stick in my mind when you were putting him up. He's 11-4 now, second favourite. He's just kind of coasting through the competition at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, I remember texting you, didn't I? Actually, I think Judge's Houses at Ben Hay now was the one I was going to get on the side of.
Yeah, it might have even been bigger than that then, thinking back.
I have waited and just sort of held back before making my bet. I'd like to see how they perform on the live shows before I get stuck in. And I'm quite happy and comfortable with that 6-1 each way bet. I think he'll get into the final. What amazes me about Ben is I don't think he's done anything particularly outrageous yet. He's just been very steady. He hasn't hit the ball out the park yet, largely due to the fact I don't think he's had the right week for him. He needs a rock week, doesn't he? We know he's got a rock voice. He almost needs a Bon Jovi classic, really, for him to come into his own. And yet, amazingly, considering he always seems to get lukewarm comments every week by the judges, Mel's not absolutely convinced, his odds always seem to be shortening up. So there's people out there that are obviously favouring Ben. He doesn't come out particularly well on sort of digital spy polls either. I mean, obviously, Fleur was top last week with 29%. And, you know, considering Ben did a very steady number last week, he's only got 11%. Of people that thought he did the best. He was fourth behind only the Young and Andrea. So it's good for me in many respects that he is shortening up, but at the same time, he hasn't done enough really to justify him being as short as he is. But I do think he'll get to the final. I think we're beginning to see a pattern developing now. They're obviously pushing Fleur big. Simon was massive on her last week. She looks the versatile all-rounder that the show really wants. And I think if there is going to be a future star down the line that's going to sell records worldwide, it's going to be Fleur, because she looks fantastic as well. She's already a ready-made pop act. I agree with Dan. The Andrea sort of, I won't say wheels are beginning to come off, but you don't like to see too much nitpicking, do you, at this stage?
No, no.
You know, the fact that Simon says he's pulling funny faces and, you know, that the songs are almost becoming irrelevant, that they're looking at him, the package, rather than, you know, actually what he's doing with his voice. That's becoming a little bit unnerving for me, for those that have got a short price.
Yeah.
I'm back Ben, and I'm happy with the bet, although I still can't understand why he's so short, considering a general lack of negativity surrounding him.
Yeah, yes, it's a fair point. Interestingly, on Andrea as well, the YouTube views have kind of, I think they've progressively gone down. I mean, he was the third most viewed after last weekend. So maybe the public are just starting to think, yeah, we've seen that. I mean, he's got a great week this week. He's either an Elton John song, or more likely a Whitney Houston song to absolutely belt out, so we'll see what they do to him there. I don't know if you want to stick around, Andy, but you're more than welcome to, or you can go, whatever.
No,
I don't mind.
I've said my piece. I'm sure fine. Dan's got more sensible things to say about it than I have.
Just a quick recap on those Strictly bets. You know, you like the Simon Webb top score bet this week, and on the balance of everything, you're looking at Steve to go.
I think Steve will go, yeah. If he gets into a dance off, I think Steve's a goner, because I can't see him out dancing everyone with his jive. And if he's up against Sinatra, I think Sinatra will do a really good wall. So that's why I think the betting's wrong there. And yeah, I'm really happy with the Simon Stroke Pixie combination bets this weekend. I think they're going to do really well again.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay, guys.
Andy Holding there on All Things Strictly. We'll keep Daniel on the line. Rob, what about Andrea? I mean, he's been odds on. He's drifted back out again. Are you seeing money steadily drifting in for Andrea?
Yeah, the money still drifts in. We're getting to a bit where we're never going to agree, me and you and Andrew, are we? I just think...
No, I'm willing to admit that. I think he needs another big kick. And if he...
He needs to... Whether he gets a
another
kick...
Another good push.
Again, it was... Last week, it struck me as, again, quite a big D-ramp. Here you are, you've put him on a bus. You've gone on, he's slagged off Harrods.
He's
talked about the Queen. Produced a performance which apparently isn't as good as Leona's, which is probably 100% correct. I don't know. In every other year, he would be drifting out by now, and yet people still want to sort of take him, even at 5-4, which to me is ludicrously short. You're still getting enough punters, and he's still the worst result by a long, long way.
I mean, you can't. I think. You know, for all our chat, Daniel, about, you know, deramping and conspiracies and Simon laughing, you know, as we've said in previous podcasts, you know, if the British public love him, then, you know, it might not work. And, you know, there's going to come a time when the British public start to think, hang on a minute, we're not going to do whatever Simon Cowell tries to make us do.
There's always been very anti-Simon Cowell things. Yeah. Somebody, Christopher Maloney is probably a prime example of somebody who, well, hang on a minute, we're going to vote for him because Simon hates him. The Rage Against the Machine Christmas number one was very anti X Factor to sort of stop the Simon Cowell PL bandwagon.
I think then you've got to look at we can all spot the producers giving someone a good VT, giving them a boost, or giving them a D-ramp, if you like. But I think you've probably got to look at the reasons why. Now, I suppose the reasons why Ben has been kind of, as Andy was saying, has been a little bit under the radar is that they probably don't need to do anything with him. They're probably happy. They monitor the votes, obviously, each week. They must be pretty happy with the way the votes are coming in for him. No reason why he wouldn't be popular. Good looking guy, good voice. Fleur East is obviously the interesting one. I mean, you know, it's getting, they may as well just have like some sort of nanosecond subliminal text coming up on the screen saying Fleur East winner, because it's just it's beyond obvious, isn't it, what they're doing. Her votes must be low, Daniel.
Well, last week was just
a Fleur East show.
Yeah, it was just the Fleur East show. You've managed to get you've managed to get clips of her helping other contestants in other people's VTs. You've got interviews with her family and the thing she's on last. I mean, there's nothing more. Obviously, her votes must have struggled the previous week.
They have to be. That can be the only reason.
You've pushed as much as you can.
Yeah. Do you think, will that continue? I mean, we'll know. If for instance, they did all that and her votes were still a little bit low, Daniel, we won't see a continual push for her, will we?
I don't think you could put anything past producers. I really do not underestimate them, is what I've learned from the show. And we saw a continual pimping of Little Mix from a certain period.
That was very obvious, wasn't it?
With James Arthur, even from week 8 onwards. Sometimes they don't get what they want. I mean, Tamira Foster is a great example. And in that case, sometimes they go for the compromise candidate. And I think Sam Bailey was ideal last year for that. You know, if they'd had in an ideal world, Tamira would have been the winner and would have become the British Rihanna. That wasn't going to fly, so they went with someone who was popular and a feel-good winner, and that was Sam Bailey. Now, you could argue that Ben Hay now represents that kind of compromise candidate. If Fleur East is still, perhaps even after last week, isn't approaching Ben's percentages in the phone vote, then they'll go, okay, well, you know, we're going to sign her no matter what, and Ben can be our feel-good, good-looking guy, bring out his single number one Christmas winner. But they will, you know, don't underestimate how much they will continue to push somebody, because they've done it in the past.
Just looking at some of the other contestants, you're spot on. You know, never underestimate what they can do. It looks like it's between those three at the moment. Lauren's an interesting one, though, isn't it? Because she's had a tricky few weeks. She's on the Extra Factor last week, which many of our listeners probably watched themselves. She came out and agreed with Simon on there, and she said that while she enjoyed her performance, she said she felt like she could feel the audience slipping away from her effectively, and that they weren't really in tune with it. She wished she'd been able to get down and move around a little bit. 6-1 now, Lauren Platt. Is there any value in that, Daniel, do you think? I mean, is her journey coming to an end, or has she got another kick on here? Because Cheryl can't not have an act in this competition this far out, for instance.
I'm not sure. I've seen nothing but a D-ramp for the last couple of weeks for Lauren. And again, that's another, that kind of idea that a judge needs to be in till a certain amount of time. That kind of can often get disproved. I know it's Cheryl we're talking about, but Lauren has had two bad slots in the running order in a row. I find the VTs are not particularly kind of relatable.
She comes across as being a bit posh and spoilt in the VTs, doesn't she?
Yeah, just comfortable. Well, there's no journey. And I thought last week was really damning. Simon Cowell has only giggled twice this series about something that producers have done to de-ram somebody. Once was when they painted Andrea gold and he couldn't stop laughing.
Still.
And last week, he couldn't stop laughing about swing and the seat and the fact it didn't move. And, you know, he joked twice about it. Someone just needed to give it a push. And then as she walked off the stage, Dermot even gave it a push. So your last memory of Lauren was the empty swing, which she'd sat on, just kind of swaying on the empty stage. So it was really damaging for her. I don't think you should underestimate how damaging last week was for her. So, I mean, that tees up one of two possibilities. That tees up a proper going in for the kill this weekend, or perhaps that was just a week of warning for her behavior over crying over a few simple dance moves in week four, and then they'll get over that. But I'd be very worried if I was a Lauren backer.
All the rumors, I've just been like googling while we've been listening to that, Danny, about Cheryl being the rumors about being pregnant. It wouldn't be a big surprise, would it? You know, she goes out early. Cheryl just gets a bit of a, you know, you don't have to
she's a married lady now. I just think it's strange for Lauren, because I really did think there's a little niche in there for her. And I think the show really, especially in the auditions and early on in the show, I think they really pushed her at sort of the judges' houses and the six-seat challenge bit. But, I mean, as I said, she just comes across as boring. And in a way, we were talking about Andrea's Price. When you look at the fact that Lauren's coming across as boring and being D-ramped, Ben seems to get bad comments. Fleur's needed one hell of a push just to keep her sort of going. And then you look and think, well, maybe there's no challenge to Andrea. Maybe Andrea is this year's Sam Bailey. Mm. Maybe because they can't get the winner they want, it's just going to be, maybe Andrea's the feel-good story.
Yeah, I suppose you're waiting to see a full, you know, when they, they've stood up for him before, haven't they? It seems like it goes like, they'll have 2 week D-round and then they'll go, oh, we'll give him a good one this week.
Yeah.
If he sings a Whitney song and absolutely smashes it out of the park, it's going to be hard to D-ramp it, isn't it? Unless he comes out painted silver and gurns all the way through, I suppose.
One final thing on Cheryl losing her axe. If Cheryl does lose Lauren, who does she put her weight behind? She puts her weight behind Fleur, who is exactly who the show is pushing the most.
Good point.
So I don't think they actually mind that much. Cheryl goes, well, you know what? I've lost all my axe, but I'm now supporting Fleur. She's the one I'm rooting for. That's a great storyline for them.
It is, you're right. The next elimination, the 10th elimination, Stevie Ritchie, 4-7. First odds on elimination we've
first
had, I think.
First odds on at this stage, yeah.
Only the Young, 7-2. Stereo Kicks, 5-1. Lauren Platt, 8-1. Fleur East, 33s. Andrea is 50s. And so is Ben Haynow. Stevie Ritchie, on YouTube views last week, was bottom by a country mile. In fact, if you add Stevie Ritchie's performance and his bottom two performances, still don't reach Ben's.
Next to bottom. Yeah.
Who was next to bottom, by the way? Ben was 209,000 viewers. Stevie, 101. Plus, if you had the extras.
Stevie had his day in the sun last week, didn't he? It's time to go now, I think. He's caused a little bit of a shock factor, taking out Jay James, which is quite good for the field book, to be quite honest. But it's gone, hasn't it? And I think this week, I think almost like the Judy performance we were talking about in Strictly. I think this week he'll probably sing the best he's sung all the way through, end up in the bottom two, gone.
I should add that we've just had confirmation that there's a twist double elimination this weekend, and that it will be the same as in week four. Someone will go on the Saturday, bottom of the vote, and there'll be a bottom two on the Sunday.
Wow.
Which has been not only implications on the elimination, it suggests curtains for Stevie Ritchie me as well. Because
he was second bottom, wasn't he?
Yep. But it also suggests, it means there's only a three-act final instead of a four-act final. So it really does mean that there'll be at least one judge without any runners in the final. It means that those people who thought, okay, we're going to have a four-act final, it'll be Lauren, Andrea, Ben and Fleur, well, it's not going to be that anymore. One of those they're willing to sacrifice before the final, let alone one of the groups being there, which is what some people have suggested they might try and push at some point. But that, you know, now it's only three acts in the final, that makes, you know, that changes calculations.
Yeah, it does indeed, yeah. Interesting, the double of it. I mean, you can't even see Stevie getting a bounce, can you, to be honest?
I don't think
there's no need to have a bounce.
I don't think there's a need for a bounce. Whether he bounces enough to Sunday's show, I suppose now comes into the equation. But
I expect to see a classic Stevie VT saying, "I've had my fun." I mean, he's already said this on Extra Factor, Daniel, hasn't he? When Paul went, you could see he was actually upset about the fact that he was still in and someone with Paul's voice had gone. He said on Extra Factor, I don't deserve to be here.
Well, I mean, Jay came out and actually went the other way, and he said this week and just said, I think Stevie deserved, because while you could argue that I'm the better singer, I think Stevie's got the X Factor. Stevie's got the better performance.
Yeah, he's got the X Factor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we'll probably all agree. I mean, 4-7 is very short, but, you know, given that this market obviously this won't change.
It's still bottom of the public vote
on Saturday night. So, yeah, it's hard to see anyone else polling less. I mean, you know, only could we see anyone beat, you know, finish further down than Stevie? I mean, only the young have been saved last, haven't they?
Yeah.
Last 2 weeks, Daniel. They're obviously trying to put in people's minds that they're not all that good. You know, I know Dermot says it's a no particular order, but
they seem to get very good comments, don't they? They seem to get a lot better comments than what Ben and Lauren have been getting. So
Can you oppose Stevie in any way to this 10th elimination, Daniel?
Now that it's all on the bottom of the vote, it becomes tricky again. Before the show, it's really hard to say. During the show, because they've been so sort of clean in their kills, you can kind of tell pretty quickly who they're aiming for. You might get a better idea of someone they've really decided to stick the knife into, but at the moment it's just hard to work out who that might be, whether it'll be only the young or Lauren or Stevie's, you know, now that it's a double elimination, that really suggests that they're not worried about Stevie hanging around for another weekend.
No.
So,
and he's yet to be in the first half of the show as well, Stevie, isn't he? So, I mean, again, if he goes on early, then it's a pretty good indication that he's had his time. I expect him to go on early to have a VT almost thanking the public for his journey, and he's ready to go home now, blah, blah, blah. And it'll all be quite nice.
Have we had any song choices this week?
I haven't seen. Well, I mean, Whitney and Elton. We haven't had them through yet, have we? I was just checking that myself.
I remember I remember Wagner singing "Creep" on Radiohead's "Creep."
that was brilliant. That was one of my highlights.
The week after, he basically got chucked out. He was living in a hotel on his own because he was.
I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Geez.
I don't belong here, and that was it. And he goes. So
that was great, wasn't it? It reminded me of Wagner last week. Actually, what a great contestant he was, by the way. Brilliant. So you'll be doing, just to pick up on that, you'll be doing it in play anyway, and then will you press up Sunday's elimination?
In play, 10th elimination. 11th elimination will be available first thing Sunday morning.
That's going to be fascinating, isn't it? I mean, there's very little point in discussing it now, Daniel, because we don't know what the songs are and we don't know how it's all going to pan out, but it's a fascinating market to see who ends up in the bottom two on Sunday.
Yeah,
that's the interesting one. So watch the show on Saturday and then look at the 11th elimination.
Yeah, we'll check out, ideal time to check out SofaBet on the Saturday night, Sunday morning, to see what the views are. And because it's such a quick turnaround, you might need a little few pointers just to set your mind, anyone like me watches on Saturday night, falls asleep, and then is like in the Sunday morning thinking, what actually happened?
I think Extra Factor might be quite good to watch this week.
Yeah, you'll be absolutely reality sodden with I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here Now. X Factor, then Extra Factor.
Yeah.
You might actually lose your mind this weekend if you watch all that, I think. There are a couple of other markets that Rob's priced up. This is the first act announced safe. This will be on the Sunday night. This will probably change a little bit now, won't it? Because you've got a one going out on the night, I suppose. Although Stevie's your rank outsider, so Ben Hay now is 7-2 to be announced safe first. Stereo Kicks 4-1. Andrea is 9-2. Fleur East 9-2. 5-1. Lauren, Only the Young 6-1. There's lots of information out there as to how that works, but Fleur probably a decent bet if they're still trying to push her. You wouldn't be surprised, would you?
Yeah. Can I just say this market will be for the Sunday and not the not the Saturday as well. I'll make that clear on my website when I get back upstairs.
Anything else to add, Daniel, where we are at the moment? We haven't talked about groups much, have we? But
we haven't. No,
Kicks are interesting.
Yeah, they have to decide at some point or other. Like you say, there have been mixed messages on Only the Young. But the staging has been a little bit messy, a little bit all over the place. And then the judges' comments are relatively kind. And then we have also got the social media traction of the guys shouting Only the Young.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Urging Dermot to say that they're safe. So there's that as well. But there'll come a point, I don't know whether they just, you know, that this will be on Sunday when, you know, they'll choose between the two groups, but mixed messages on those.
Yeah, hard to know where they're coming. I mean, obviously, Louis not knowing the names of the band isn't a big surprise.
I can see him coming to Louis last and having to decide at some point, isn't he? At some stage, Louis's going to have to make another decision. And I mean, to be fair, Simon did actually make a decision last week, didn't he, between Stevie and Jay? So, Louis will abstain and send him out. I was interesting that they picked up that one of the singers of Only the Young missed his... forgot his words last week. It wasn't obviously as obvious as Tamara Foster's forgetting her words and Katie Vassell from a few years
they're
ago.
They're a great band, you know. I actually think not my style of music or anything, but I think they're so together as a band.
I thought that was performance of despite the fact that he forgot his words, I thought that was performance of the week last
week. Hopefully for them, they'll do well after the competition, whatever happens to them, because I think that they obviously work hard at it and they deserve it. Daniel, we won't keep you any longer. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Lee. Cheers.
Make sure you check out sofabet.com as well for all those the pre-show comments and articles, and then between Saturday night and Sunday morning, it could be invaluable to your betting this weekend. Let's have a listen to an excerpt from the interview that I did with Steve Brookstein earlier this week. His book's out today as we record this, Friday, November the 21st. It's all about his time during the very first X Factor, how he found it and how he kind of grew accustomed to it. And then his rather tumultuous period after the X Factor. This excerpt is just talking about this year's series and who he thinks will be the eventual winner. I've watched it for years now and been doing a podcast on the betting side of it for what seems like an eternity now. And every year, you know, we all get a bit frustrated with it and we all kind of, you know, scratch our heads. And, you know, there are websites dedicated to the betting on it, sofabet.com, you know, a guy who comes on our podcast. There's a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding X Factor, which, you know, you allude to even in the very first series. I mean, things like the running order, obviously, the VTs, the judges' comments, which are probably more manipulated now, at least maybe... Sharon was being honest at the time. Deadlock is obviously used to a massive extent. Things like red and black backgrounds are supposed to be a psychological turn off to viewers, and the lyrics in song and everything else. Do you think it is that manipulated, or are we reading so much into it now that are the producers that clever?
No, it was. I mean, the biggest thing is you got to look at the Sun, the newspaper. If you see who they're promoting in the Sun, that's who you're going to bet on. You see who they're putting you off. You know, Ben and Fleur. They must be the two favourites now, aren't they?
No, Andrea's still a favourite because I think he was...
Really? He is great, but outside bet on Ben and Fleur is really worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben. I mean, Simon doesn't want Andrea to win it. They dressed him in gold, for goodness sake.
Yes.
You know, and then Simon's making laughing at him. And it's like, you should not be laughing at this guy. This guy is vocally the best guy in the show. So you should be, but you're mocking him because you don't want to work with him. They don't want him to win. He might win it because he's the best, and the public generally go for the best. I mean, Matt Cardle, there was a big push for One Direction to win it, but Matt Cardle was obviously the better singer. This year, there's a big push for Fleur and Ben, but it should be Andrea or, you know, Lauren. They're photographing her outside Greg's, you know, stuffing her face with a big pie, and meanwhile, Fleur is in the next photo on the way to the recording studio looking like a star. So you can just look at the way the tabloids are reporting on who they want to win and who they want to work with. Lauren will get mugged off at some point soon. Don't want to vote for her. You know, it's just down to those three, Fleur, Ben and Andrea. Stereo Kids, they're not going to win it, are they? It is interesting. I do find it fascinating. I'm intrigued by the propaganda that they use.
Yeah, that is the fascinating thing. I mean, that's what kind of gets me through in a sense now. It's not the, you know, I mean, Andrea is fantastic, but I take more of an interest in the manipulation of an audience from the show's point of view and from the media's point of view. And you don't want to tell too many people because people still do enjoy the show, don't they, Steve? You know, I say to people, people don't believe, people think I'm a nutcase when I say this stuff to them.
Do you know what would be a good thing, right? You know when you watch football match and you can have the fans talking, yes, doing the commentary? Yeah. You should be able to have that, shouldn't you? With, yeah, so we're talking behind the scenes, saying, no, look around, they're manipulating that. Yeah. Look at what they're saying to Andre and what they're doing to the...
I suppose Twitter does that to a certain extent, doesn't it? It's made it a much better watch, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get that all the time. If I'm not watching X Factor, I get the tweet saying, why aren't you talking about it? I'm not watching it. Sorry, I've got other things
to do. I've got a life.
yeah.
There you go, Steve Brookstein talking to me earlier this week. You can download the full interview on audioboom.com or williamhill.com/podcast. It's with the specials podcast. They're really interesting. Read the book. He's obviously had a terrible time, not only because of the X Factor, but because of the media and how they've kind of spat him out, if you like. So if you're interested in anything to do with reality TV, the press and how it treats people, then well worth getting a handle on.
He needs to do I'm a Celebrity, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he's in the game for that. Look, no. You see things on Twitter and you hear from people saying that he's awkward and he's this, that and the other. I found him nothing but pleasant. We chatted for a long time. We were chatting for about 15 minutes after we did the interview, and he's just, you know, he's been spat out by the media.
I think it was one of those where, I mean, at the time he was a deserved winner.
When
he won.
Great voice.
But I think the problem was he was the first one that never made it. And I think that's where, to be dropped quite early in his sort of contract and stuff, he was never, obviously going back to sort of Pop Stars, Survivor, you've obviously got sort of Girls Aloud,
yeah,
who had Will Young, Gareth Gates, people like that. Steve Brookstein was the first winner that never made it, and I think it's obviously sort of rankled at him,
yeah,
over as you would.
I don't need to stick up for X Factor or Simon Cowell or anyone else, but they were obviously learning it as well a little bit,
yeah,
at the time, and I wonder if Simon Cowell in private would admit that maybe he's made mistakes, not only with Steve Brookstein but with other contestants. These are people's lives, though. You know, you think about, yeah, you know, we talk about, I don't know if we touched about it in the interview, I can't quite remember, I think we maybe touched on it, but you know, Steve Brookstein, before he went into X Factor, had to cancel a gig supporting Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
I mean, and he said there were other people who had teaching jobs who cancelled the jobs and then didn't have a job. You know, I think when we do this podcast and we kind of laugh about the contestants, you've got to wonder what they go back to, and if they've given up a job, how do they resurrect the career and the mental problems that they must suffer afterwards.
The way they will see it, the upside will always outdo the downside. If you're warming up for Lionel Richie, it's a big thing. But don't forget, you could be a global star in your own right. If this goes really well...
Yeah.
I mean...
It's a big gamble, isn't it?
I'll be honest with you. None of these will become a global star. We haven't really had a global star going back since sort of... Obviously, as a winner, you're going back since Alexandra and Leona. You've got your One Direction and JLS and people like that who haven't won the show but have gone on to great things. But I don't know. You look at this lot and you've looked at, obviously, last year... You don't really see that global style.
No, not at all. So check out the full interview, available as I said on Audio Boom, and get the book. It's well worth reading. There's some pretty good stories in there about some of the people involved in X Factor. I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here. We've been doing these updates all week. We'll talk about the outrights first of all. Jimmy Bullard strengthened a lot overnight. He had a fantastic show last night as we record this on Thursday night, doing the eating challenge. It was really funny. He's been priced up now to win the show at 5-4. Melanie Sykes also shortened 2-1. Jake Quickenden next in the market came into the show and he's 10-1. What a big jump between Melanie and Jake Quickenden. Carl Fogarty 12s, Nadia Ford 12s, Tinchy Strider now out to 14-1. Edwina Curry now already exerting a bit of influence in the camp, I think 20-1. Kendra Wilkinson did really well in the eating challenge, but only 25-1. Michael Burt 25s, and Vicky Michelle the outsider here at 40-1. Have you seen a lot of cash for Jimmy Bullard, or is that just kind of on your viewing?
Obviously through the in running last night, he shortened a lot. He was 7-4 before we started the in running through the task. I think it was about 11-8 when he finished the eating task as well. So plenty of money. He's still a slight winner in the book. Carl Fogarty and Mel Sykes are worse results than him, but
right,
I can see that changing. The weight of cash you'd probably think over the weekend. It's been the Jimmy Bullard show really for sort of the last two nights now. So he didn't get the task though, did he? The one last night that we're going to see
Kendra
tonight.
Kendra got it again, didn't she?
So maybe Kendra are shorting.
Yeah. Tonight. It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, just look at those outrights. I mean, I think that's a massive gap between the front two, understandably, because
I think it changed. I mean, Jake Quickenden's the one that you will see shorten. I mean, we're 20 to 1 yesterday. We're now 10 to 1.
Yeah.
Once you've got a full night of viewing, plus going into the weekend, I think they get a bit of a push from X Factor as well. There's the people that voted for him in X Factor are like to be watching Celebrity as well. So it will shorten. We'll talk again on Monday, and there probably won't be a lot of difference between Jake and Mel, for an example.
Yeah. Interestingly, with Gemma's departure. Jake Quickenden was the most tweeted about person on I'm a Celeb last night on the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here Now. He'd only really been shown in the jungle for a few minutes. So
no,
immediately
it was only 5 minutes less than that, wasn't it?
He was the most, you know, it's not all positive. You know, obviously, some of it would be negative, but it's still, you know, a lot of social media interaction.
The girls were quite happy. I quite like Cal Fogarty's thing.
Yeah,
the girls have got Jake coming in, and we've got Edwina Curry, and just the look on his face.
Going to be interesting to see the dynamic of Edwina. Edwina going in there as a strong woman, of course. Vicky Michelle hasn't really had much airtime yet, and you wonder if Edwina will rub anyone up the wrong way. You wonder maybe Melanie Sykes. Maybe she's obviously kind of almost assumed the kind of the matriarchal role in there, or the one that everyone looks up to. I think Melanie Sykes, Michael Burke, and Vicky Michelle, one of them might just have a little bit of an altercation with Edwina, and it might just bring them to the fore.
Well, Edwina,
Vicky needs it, by the way.
We're getting to the live challenge, aren't we, on Sunday night?
Yes.
So I still think Edwina's very short to get that challenge, and that will probably make or break her series for me. I think if she does a really good task, you saw with sort of Carol Thatcher that people can change sort of perceptions of people as you go in. Edwina, it's difficult because I think Edwina, I don't think it works for Edwina. I think she goes quite early.
Yeah.
But if she does this live task that Sunday night, I think it's 9 o'clock Sunday night, then it changes the dynamic. If she does really well in it, then she shortens a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
And then you think, maybe there's a journey in it. If she doesn't do the task, if she does the task badly, then I can just see an early elimination for her.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's a bit of a quandary, isn't it? I think we'll find a lot out as to how much airtime she gets over the next few days.
Yeah.
If, for instance, she's getting quite a lot of airtime before the first elimination.
Out of 10, she's probably the most interesting one that we've got now, for me. We've lost Craig Charles, we've lost Gemma. Both would have been sort of great contestants in their own right, for differing reasons, I think.
Yeah.
But I think Edwina, what we've got left, we've got Edwina. If Edwina doesn't go well, then, I mean, you can't really look far away from Jimmy Bullard based on what we've seen in the last 48 hours.
Yeah, that seems very fair. Just looking to find out when the actual... when's the first elimination?
I think it's Monday night, personally.
Is it? So Saturday?
I don't think it's tomorrow. They want everybody available to do the live task. It's normally the live task goes before the elimination.
He didn't say it's on Monday, but...
It might be a surprise elimination. Only known to us.
Yeah. I'll just turn that bit out.
They've been in for a week, so...
So I think that is... If forced to have a bet on the elimination right now, I think Vicky Michelle, as you were saying yesterday, is, you know, she's 9-4, Edwina Curry 3-1, 7-2, Kendra. She just, you don't see much of Vicky Michelle, do you, at all?
I talked up Kendra, didn't I? I talked up Kendra to go, but I mean, she did
like
really
her.
Well during that task.
Yeah,
she,
I think girls are quite like, she's quite feisty, isn't she?
Yeah, I think the fact that she's got the task again means that her price will get bigger. It's difficult at the moment. It does go on airtime, doesn't it? So based on airtime that we see, then Vicky Michelle probably is now vulnerable. I just wonder, a bigger price, I just wonder if Michael Burke at 10-1 has done enough to... It's not really... He did the dingo challenge, didn't he, last night?
They don't really
count,
do they?
A bit of airtime, but no.
Yeah, I think it's time to start... If you haven't looking for a bet on the first elimination, it's time to start thinking now about who has the airtime. And you remember, you know, you have to be motivated to vote for them. So if Edwina Curry goes in there and starts getting into arguments, that's good, you know, for her chances, because someone will like her. If you're just not doing anything like Vicky Michelle at the moment, then there's really no reason. You get forgotten, you get left behind. So she's the only one, I think, out of all of them who may be a little bit forgotten. Although... Tinchy Strider, since The Task, hasn't really featured.
Looking at that, he's not really been shown at all, has he?
He had that little argument with Kendra, but that was a few days ago as well, and things have happened since then. Yeah. You know, Gemma and obviously Craig having to leave the jungle. So
I think Edwina's quite wise. Tinchy. I think Edwina will pick a fight with somebody.
Yeah.
Just to, if she knows she's going to get airtime, I think she's a little bit more savvy than people are.
I think she could probably pick a fight in a phone box, to be fair.
Well,
so
she might have to. There's indeed. A phone box there.
Yeah. There's loads of other things on the specials pages. You've got Oscars, Christmas specials, National TV Awards, Sexy Women, religious specials. Those two are not connected. Next Bond, Weather specials, Dancing with the Stars, a Turner Prize, Nobel Prize, EastEnders, Royal specials. And of course, we've also got BBC Sports Personality of the Year. Won't be far away from getting the shortlist.
This week, we get the shortlist. Yep. Next week, sorry, Thursday.
1-8 Rory McIlroy, of course. 5-1 Lewis Hamilton, who may well win the F1 Championship this weekend. It all goes down to the wire. Johnny Wilkinson, 20-1. Joe Pavey, 25s. Joe Pavey been named the Sportswoman of the Year this week, is she, or something?
Nope.
Someone else, wasn't it?
That was Charlotte Dujardin for leading a horse around.
Oh, do you remember that? Do you remember that?
Field.
I had some sort of match bet with you as to whether she'd get into the top 10. And
Charlotte Dujardin.
You never gave me the chocolate bar. Betting without Royal Rory McIlroy.
That's twice people have talked about chocolate bars this week.
4-11 Lewis Hamilton and Joe Pavey 6-1. Johnny Wilkinson 6-1. Claudia Fragapani 12-1. Gareth Bale 16s. Charlotte Dujardin is 25. This is without McIlroy. Remember, so must finish second. And then you get up to Mo Farah 25s, Tony McCoy 28s and 33-1. Andy Murray, Carl Froch and Lizzie Yarnold 40-1 and bigger the rest. Shall we call it a day there?
54 minutes in, I think we've seen enough.
We've done plenty, to be
we've
fair.
We've done enough, we? Yeah. Great. Then we don't have to do another celebrity one now, do we?
Not today, no.
Do we do one tomorrow?
Saturday. Are we going to do weekends?
I don't think we should do weekends.
Don't you think so?
Let's reconvene on Monday.
Okay, fine. We might miss something amazing. It's fine. Are you working tomorrow?
Yeah, of course I'm working.
What, you're in work?
Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I can just give you a quick ring. I'll be at home. I'll give you a quick ring if you want.
Yeah, whatever. Crap.
I'll text you. But you really don't need to be part of this conversation, listeners.
No.
But this is how we
considering
roll.
Considering the fact that you gave me a phone number out last week, I'm amazed that I haven't had even more people
yeah,
ringing
apologies
me
about that. I'm sorry. I don't know how that got left in there. But thanks for not ringing it. I think only two people happened to listen to it. I checked the stats.
One was my mum, just to say, I just heard your number.
Thank you for listening. You can get this podcast at audioboom.com, williamhill.com/podcasts, and it's also available on iTunes, of course. If you subscribe, you get all the podcasts delivered to you, phone, your tablet or your PC, week in, week out. If you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, and we've discussed plenty of them, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.